I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. He's still power preaching all over the country right now, but Matthew Arnold is going to be joining us. You know, I always like to say that we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and too renewed to be subdued. We're just going to keep fighting the good fight in season and out. Today's going to be a great show because we're going to be talking about the confessions of a former Freemason officer who converted to Catholicism in France, and he is doing great work and sharing the gospel. Also, we're going to cover later in this broadcast a very interesting article, The Soviet Union Rewind. Why are we praising communism again? You know, we're going to talk about what happened 30 years ago in February of 1990. And so it's going to be a wonderful show. Matt Arnold, welcome to our show, my brother.
Thank you, Terry. Good to be here.
Thank you. Before we get into our topics and we get Bishop Sheen into the room, I want to ask our folks to turn their Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 27 to 33. This is the gospel of today's Mass. Matthew, could you please not read it, proclaim it?
Will do.
Thank you.
It's a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the village of Caesarea Philippi. Mm-hmm. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as men do." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, Matthew, what's your take on that gospel?
Well, you know, of course, we have here Mark's very edited down version what we read about in Matthew 16.
Yep.
Where Peter's the one, right, who proclaims who Jesus is, that Jesus is, in fact, the Christ. Of course, in Matthew's gospel, he says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father in heaven." And Jonah in Aramaic being the word for dove. So he calls Jesus the Son of God, and then Jesus calls him the Son of the Dove, or the Holy Spirit, to show that God's revealed this to him. And then he starts to teach them that the Son of Man has to suffer, and they don't want to hear it. And, you know, Terry, just quickly, because we read this a lot in the Gospels leading up to Easter time, leading up to Lent, and during the Septuagesimatide in the Old Rite. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus always predict his sufferings to the apostles? Why did he do it? Because it happens again and again.
Of course.
But, you know, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, it shows that he's omniscient. He already knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
And the second thing is that he wanted it to happen. It was his will. Mm-hmm. And also said that disciples shouldn't be scandalized by his humiliation or to think evil of him as if he had deceived them into thinking that, you know, he was something other than he was.
Right.
You know, but by remembering what he said, it would rather confirm their belief in him as the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world. You know, and we know that they understood because Peter tries to talk him out of it, right?
Sure.
But they just couldn't reconcile those predictions of his suffering and humiliation with their expectation of this glorious kingdom.
Exactly.
And this, you know, and this warrior king Messiah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, Terry, to apply this to my own life, I think about my conversion.
Yes.
And how was I able to cast off my prejudices and understand the truths of faith, you know, even no matter how plainly they're taught? It was only by being enlightened by the Holy Spirit. It's the only Spirit move in your life. And then, of course, that happens at your own personal Pentecost, you know, when you get confirmed, that all, you know, the grace really flows and it kicks in. And that's why, you know, I'll be telling my RCIA people this Monday, don't ask God to help you understand so that you can believe. Ask God to help you believe so that you can understand.
Well said. Wow. Matthew, my only thought on this is at the end of the first paragraph when he says, then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. My thought on that is they didn't get it, okay, obviously. They thought, you know, military, right, political power. Hey, man, we're going to have a great time now. Look who we have as our leader here. No, that's not the case. And so how do I apply that to myself? And that is that I continue to look not my happiness on this life, but the future life.
Right.
And I just mean that because, don't get me wrong, I'm a happy guy, Matt. You know me well, and I love my life. But, you know, mm-hmm, just this morning before the Blessed Sacrament, I was reflecting on heaven, just on a thought of saying, not only just being with the presence of God, but my relatives, my mom, my dad, my brothers. I mean, wow, I was just reflecting on, wow, for all eternity. And it just, it mm-hmm, took me out of my life. It took me out of my own senses for a little while, thinking about the beauty of heaven. Now, I share that because that's my focus, and I got to stay focused on that because that's where my true happiness lies. And I hope our listeners think about this gospel and apply it to their own lives. So praise God for that. Hey, before we bring,
amen,
yeah, before we bring Bishop Sheen in, let's just mention again today we're going to have a interesting conversation about Freemasonry. Matthew's a bit of an expert on that topic, and also about the Soviet Union rewind 30 years ago. What happened and what the heck is going on now? People thinking that communism or socialism is a good thing in our country. Well, how's that all happening?
Yikes.
We're going to talk about that, but let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Oh, Sheen ahead. I love this quote, and get on board the train. Every moment, Bishop Sheen says this, every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose. Woo-hoo! Time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with it as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain forever, whatever you made it. Do you realize that God gave us an opportunity moment by moment to be living in the presence of God and to take every action and give it to him? Once you figure that out, and I did not know that, Matthew, now until I was in high school. I did not realize this principle until I read Bishop Sheen saying that. And it was a game changer for me. So anyhow, that's my
Bishop. Absolutely. You know, and it reminds me too, I think a lot of people, you know, times are tough.
Yeah.
Catholicism is not exactly the most popular worldview currently.
Yeah.
You know, in the big scheme of things.
Sure.
We're going to be talking about, you know, Freemasonry and communism.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we're fighting an uphill battle.
Yep.
But we have to remember, you know, I think sometimes people are afraid. They're afraid to stand up. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to be open in the practice of their faith.
Yeah.
And because they're afraid, they don't want to offend people. They don't want, you know, there to be bad repercussions. You know, people find out, oh, you're a faithful Catholic, and then they're going to think bad things about you or whatever. But it's well to reflect on what Bishop Sheen said about how we're given these moments, moment by moment, you know, that God, time's so precious, he deals it out second by second. And if you're not, you know, you should be far more afraid of not standing up, should be far more afraid of hiding your light under a bushel than you are for the repercussions for proclaiming your faith out loud. Because in the end, is like you said, you need to live your life with an eye on eternity and what really matters. And like our Lord said, you don't be afraid of those who can, you know, be aggressors against the body,
yep,
but you know, those who can destroy, or him who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna, right? And that's the thing. I really, really want to not go to hell, Terry.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Sign me up for getting out of there, not even going by. No, you're right. Hey, Matthew, well said. I want to give some good news stories. And, you know, sometimes these good news stories are from our Protestant brothers who don't have the fullness of the faith. But one thing I find many times with my Protestant brothers, their courage to do the right thing, it really inspires me. And here's a University of Alabama. Their trustees voted just a couple months ago to give back $21.5 million from a donor because that donor was urging the students to boycott the university because the university was trying to protect the students from abortion. They're saying it's wrong, and this benefactor is for abortion. So they decided to give him his money back and say, we don't need that kind of money. And I thought, wow, Money talks. Well, these Protestant brothers, they decided to not let that get by, and they gave them the money back. One more good story. President Putin in Russia, they're doing their proposals for the amendments to their constitution regarding homosexual marriage. He says, no, we will have a papa and a mama. Putin says no to homosexual marriage in Russia. To me, that's a good news story because somebody's got to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but go to LifeSite. You'll read about it there. Last thing that disappointed me, Catholic University opens up LGBT rights center. It's a Jesuit university, Gonzaga. No surprise. I just shake my head and say, those Jesuits are consistently on the wrong side. I don't get it because they should know better. But basically what they're saying is we've got to reach out to the LGBT community and affirm them. And I think that is just outlandish that our Catholic universities are doing that. That's why I tell our listeners, hey, check out the school your kids are going to, because just because they got a Catholic name doesn't mean they're Catholic. Last good news story here, kidnapped Nigerian priest. We've been talking about him for weeks. He got released this week. So praise God.
Oh, thanks be to God.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful story there. And you know what, Matthew? We've got so many more stories, but we're not going to have time. I want to focus when we come back on something that you are very familiar with, and that is Freemasonry. And this is an article from the National Catholic Register about a gentleman, Mr. Gallardo, who's actually a former senior official in the French government. And he converted back to his Catholic faith. It's a great story. We have much, much more to tell you to inspire you. What to do inspire you to do? To fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. That's our purpose here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Matt Arnold, Terry Barber here, filling in for Jesse today. And we're going to inspire you with some inspirational messages. We'll be right back. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse will be back on Monday. Matt Arnold is in for Jesse today. And Matt, we're talking about this article from the National Catholic Register, Confession of a Former Freemason. He's an officer, and he was converted to Catholicism. He's Serge Abad Gallardo. He's a former senior official in the French government. And a venerable master of the Freemasons reveals Freemasonry's anti-Christian spiritual ideological roots and its impact on the democratic political life. Wow, that's a mouthful. Now, he's written books, and he's been going up and down France, encouraging Catholics to get out of Freemasonry, and he's actually been very successful in bringing people back. But this gentleman's, as it says in the article, in his youth, he joined Freemasonry with the conviction that he could contribute to make the world a better place. You know, isn't that interesting? He had a very good, you know, reason to do that, but it turned 24 years later to Christ, convinced that he had been serving the wrong cause and above all, the wrong master. Do you know how many conversion stories have said that same thing, Matthew? They thought that they're, you know, they were going to be doing something really good, and they got into it and they went, whoa, this is evil. This is wrong. And then they had their own conversion. Now, this man's an architect, a former senior French territorial government official. Gallardo has been a venerable master, as I said earlier, and a member of the high ranks of the global Masonic order. Matthew, this is, and his conversion was so beautiful, it took place in 2012 after re-experiencing a sudden conversion at the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. I've been there four times to Lourdes. My favorite Marian shrine is Our Lady of Lourdes, like Bishop Sheen. But Matthew, why don't we set the stage a little bit for those who are not familiar with Freemasonry? When did this all start? Was it the 1700s, or when did this all start?
What's the story on Freemasonry? Well, of course, Freemasonry, one of its problems and one of the things that it uses to protect itself is secrecy.
Right. He talked about
that. So outside of Freemasonry, there's a lot of misinformation. And a lot of what the Masons tell their own members is, in fact, misinformation. You'll find... you know, depending upon the right, and there's something like 20 or more different Masonic groups.
Right.
And including these days, you know, they have side degrees, and they have groups for women, and they have youth organizations and so forth. So it's actually, you know, quite extensive. But, you know, they'll claim, some of them, oh, you know, the Masons, the Masonic Lodge, we built the pyramids or whatever.
I've heard that.
And they'll be nonsensical going back that far. more generally, you will say that it goes back to the 1400s. Uh-huh. And the Masons, the actual Masons who are building cathedrals and whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, there is a connection in one sense, because the great cathedrals of Europe were built by men that were either, apprentices, and then you go from apprentice to journeyman and from journeyman to master craftsman. Mm-hmm. And so they've got these, you know, there's degrees, and there was a certain amount of secrecy, handshakes and so forth, and secret passwords, because it was the 1400s. Nobody carried around a passport or an ID or a diploma. You know, you have to have some way to identify yourself as being the real deal when you show up in some new town saying, oh, I'm a master mason. He's like, well, you got to prove it.
Of course.
And then they also had regalia and so forth. But then so did every single guild, right? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, they all had their own secret handshake and their own regalia and so forth, because that's how they, kept the organizations together and made sure that they were talking to people who were really members of the organization and so on.
Right. And, you know, just a quick note, Matthew.
But those medieval organizations have nothing to do with Freemasonry.
Right.
You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Freemasonry, as we know it, as a spiritual, kind of counterfeit religion and social engineering program, started in the 18th century in England around the year 1717.
That's it. That's it. And Matt, just a quick note, canon law, even in the new code of canon law, 1983 code, 1374, basically says it prohibits a Catholic from, you know, being a member of Freemasonry. And you hear people all the time, I've had them, they say, oh, yeah, I'm a Catholic and a Freemason. And, you know, you just can't do both. And
right, they're incompatible. And here's why.
Yep.
You can find out why looking on the back of a dollar bill.
Oh, good.
There is the great seal of the United States is not the eagle holding the arrows. That's the presidential seal. The great seal of the United States is on the back of that dollar bill, and it's a pyramid with the all-seeing eye of God on the top and a little banner with the motto Novus Ordo Seclorum, which is Latin for New World Order. That's why the Masons were founded, was to overthrow altar and throne.
Wow.
In the Middle Ages, you had the three estates. You have those who fight, right, the nobility. You have those who pray. That would be the church. and those who work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the commoners, and there was kind of an international group in the sense that you know that Christendom was held together. They were all sovereign states. You know, England and France and the Italian city states and Spain. They're all independent. They're all sovereign, mm-hmm. but they're held together by a common faith.
Right.
By a common worldview. And there was a spirituality of the Catholic Church that was truly international.
Sure.
And what they were trying to do, of course, was overthrow that, get rid of the monarchies, get rid of the church.
Yep.
And put ourselves in that place.
Yeah.
They've been, I'm sorry to say, pretty darn effective.
They've been very effective. You remember the Knights of the Immaculata started it with St. Maximilian Kolbe in 1917 in Rome because the Masons were marching right in front of St. Peter's Basilica. And so this hasn't gone away. And, you know, Matthew, just a quick note that's interesting. When I was in the Franciscans under formation, we used to say a prayer that St. Maximilian Kolbe said. He said, we pray for those enemies of Holy Church, especially the Freemasons, okay? We were saying, oh, Mary conceived without sin, but that was the last part of the prayer. And while I was in formation, we got word that we were supposed to not say, especially the enemies of Holy Church, the Freemasons by name. And, you know, I'm a young man, and I raised my hand and I said in the formation classes, why are we not saying what St. Maximilian Kolbe told us to say? You know, actually, it was blessed at the time. And I got an answer that was no answer, you know, just be quiet, you know. But always bothered me that we wouldn't do what the saint, his prayer was. And so I don't know, it was just, I smelled something was wrong there. And I still see the infiltration of Freemasonry actually in the Catholic Church. Even some priests, bishops have been Freemasons. I mean, that's just the fact. So we really have to have a good understanding.
That was something that Archbishop Sheen, the infiltration of the church. By Freemasonry and communism.
That's right.
Strange bedfellows.
But, yep.
Marching towards the same goal in many ways.
That's so true.
Yeah, it was something that was alive and well and that he was busily trying to expose on a large scale.
Absolutely. Well, Matthew, in this article, it's too long to read, but this Mr. Gallardo had the question asked, did your testimony help other people open their eyes to the reality of Freemasonry and encourage them to leave it? Well, the answer is yes, he said. It helped many people. He said, I met a shoekeeper who I didn't know was a Freemason because he belonged to another obedience branch. He recognized me.
Right. Yeah, they call the different branches of Freemasonry, they call them the different obediences.
Yes, there you go.
FYI.
Yeah, that language is foreign to most of us. That's true. He recognized me, and he blamed me for writing books against Freemasonry. He eventually confessed that he was both a Catholic and a Freemason, and he thought it was totally compatible. Yeah, he told me that his lodge had recruited a senior officer that suddenly resigned after reading one of my books. And he is a Catholic, and he realized he was committing what we call serious sin. That's mortal sin. So a number of former Freemasons have been writing to me to share their testimony over the past few years. And, you know, I can't change anything that I've said to these people because people have freedom. But the point of it is he's going up and down France sharing his testimony why he left Freemasonry. And obviously, you know, the Masons aren't too happy with what he's doing. But I think he's trying to, you know, make restitution for what he was doing before and giving people his own understanding of why Freemasonry is not compatible with the Catholic faith.
Right. Well, and Terry, you know, it's important to point out here, he says he's talking to some shopkeeper and he says he confessed that he was both a Catholic and a Freemason.
Yes.
Which he thought was totally compatible.
Of course.
That's his words here. And this is the issue that, well, there's two things. Number one, Catholics don't know their faith very well.
That's true.
And
everywhere.
That's a problem. But the other thing is that, you know, well, gee, my Uncle Harry's a Shriner or whatever. And, you know, my Uncle Bob belongs to the Freemasons, and they just seem like the nicest guys, and they're doing charity work and whatever. And you have to understand that you go into Freemasonry, there's 30 some odd degrees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just have the 3 degrees of real masonry from the Middle Ages. They've got all these various degrees that you have to go through. And each one, there's a further revelation. And at each step, you also make greater commitments. You know,
right.
So the guy that's in the low level of Freemasonry, he doesn't know that they're trying to overthrow throw the Catholic Church and, you know, and trying to create a one world government and all that stuff, you know, that doesn't get revealed in the early stages of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew,
so there are lots of people who are involved in Masonry that, really, honest to gosh, don't know.
No, they don't.
That there's any kind of moral issue with it. And oftentimes when they find out, it's too late because they're too deeply entrenched.
Yeah. One of the questions that was asked that about Lucifer, and this is interesting, I think people would be shocked to hear that Freemasonry have, you know, they have like serving Lucifer as little one of your, he put a little book out saying, what made you think that you were serving Lucifer? And this is a fascinating answer. So I'm going to let the people wait after the break to hear about Freemasonry and how Lucifer by name, not the devil, they use the word Lucifer and how this light, you know, that they're dealing with. I mean, it is fascinating and also scary because I would imagine, Matt, the lower level guys probably don't know that either. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's entirely correct because in those early things, a lot of it, in fact, they even invoke the Holy Scriptures.
Yep, they do. They, you know? It's, yep, that. Hey, before we take go ahead, Matthew. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I just wanted to mention because I want to tell people Father Fessio's coming to town, folks, for the Adoramus Conference. It's coming quick. It's on the 14th of March. It's a Saturday. And there's Dr. Lillis is coming and Chris Cartens. This is going to be a great conference on the Easter Triduum. Matt and I, Jesse, we always talk about the Eucharist. We talk about the liturgy. This is something that we need to study. And I want to ask you as a Lenten practice for you, because it's going to be Lent time. Go to this conference as a Lenten practice and go and take a whole day where you're going to study the Mass.
Right. It's like a day-long retreat on the on the Easter liturgy.
Yes, and that's a great Lenten experience for you. So
absolutely, because Lent is a preparation for Easter. What better way to prepare?
It's the Easter Triduum, man. It's everything. It's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's going to be there for you. So call 877 if you don't want to go online to do it. 877-526-2151 to register, or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and go to the event bar and click it on, because there's lots of other good events coming on for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, I'm going to delve into the Freemasonry and the issue about Satan, and Lucifer, as they call him. And what is this gentleman who's a convert to the back to the Catholic faith has to say about Lucifer and Freemasonry? That's going to be an interesting one. Matt, can I get a little plug about what you're going to be doing tomorrow for your show?
Sure. I'm going to be in on Happy Hour. I'm going to be talking about, of course, the upcoming readings for this Sunday, Quinquagesima Sunday, in the preparation for Lent in the Old Rite. And also going to be talking a little about Ash Wednesday's coming up.
Excellent.
And going to have an interview with Michael Whitcraft about the Religious Ed Congress. So lots of good stuff coming tomorrow.
All right. We'll be right back to talk more about the Masons and Satan. We'll be back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Arnold, Matthew's filling in for Jesse today, and we're talking about Freemasonry. Mr. Gallardo, who's a gentleman in France who's a convert to the Catholic faith, has got an interview format article in the National Catholic Register, and I thought this was fascinating. The question was, what made you think that you were serving Lucifer, as the title of one of your recent books suggests? He says, one day, when I was an officer in the lodge of the La Droite Humaine, I heard a first-grade ritual that I never heard before, and that pays tribute to Lucifer. It is always part of the ancient and accepted Scottish rite. I heard the venerable master say, we must thank Lucifer for bringing light to men. And he says, I was quite taken back. Matthew, were you aware in Freemasonry that the devil was being acknowledged for bringing light to an individual?
You know, Terry, again, this is one of those things where you have strange bedfellows.
Yes.
Not only within. well, all of these kind of alternative, and I won't hesitate to use the word occult, because it means secret or hidden.
Of course.
So you've got secret societies who hide these teachings. Mm-hmm. And why would they need to? You know, it's like, well, it's not terribly surprising that when you reach a certain point that the Mission Impossible mask comes off and you've got them praising Satan. And they don't use the word Satan. Satan is a Hebrew word that means enemy.
Right.
To them, you know, Satan's not the enemy. He's Lucifer. He's the light bearer.
Yeah, that's the name. Yep, they use.
Right.
Right.
And so you can see that there's a real disconnect from the Christian religion, and people who think that, you know, Masonry and Christian, even a Protestant Christianity are not going to be compatible, because there are, you know, things that are just absolute contradictions. The praising of Satan being perhaps number one among them.
Yeah.
But you also see that in Western occultism, you know, in going back to medieval alchemy and the theosophy of the 18th and 19th century, where you have people that, and even all the way up to a modern socialist like, what's his name? The guy that wrote Rules for Radicals.
Oh, Alinsky.
Right. Yep. Yeah, Alinsky. You know that book is in fact dedicated to Lucifer.
Yep, right.
You know, as being that Satan was the first of the radicals.
Yep.
You know, so you can see, again, you can see they may not be officially connected, but you can see for lack of a better word, a certain Freemasonry.
Yes.
Amongst these disparate groups.
Yep. Matthew, the last thing I want to talk about Freemasonry in this article is showing the proofs in France, for instance, that laws allowing the contraceptive pill back in 67 was initiated by Freemasons. And additionally, the French law on abortion in 1975 was promoted by a Freemason. This is kind of like, wow, what's all? And this is really interesting. The first politician to have tried to introduce legalized euthanasia in France, guess what? Was a Freemason. And in 1978, that was happening. In the same way, the law on same-sex marriage, 2013, was promoted by a French politician, Christina Tubera, who is a Mason. See, he points this out in his book, that he's pointing out that the population in France of Freemasons is 0.03%, and yet 35% of France's deputies and senators guess what? Are Freemasons. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. It's 120 times more likely to become a deputy or a senator for a Freemason than for anyone else. What is that saying, Matthew? What's that tell you? Who's running the show?
Well, again, that was kind of the whole point of, you know, this creation, that we're going to create this secret society that's going to be this international network, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like a giant good old boy club.
Yeah.
And they're going to look out for each other and open doors for each other. Mm-hmm. And in order to pursue this agenda of the new world order. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, that is as old as you can possibly imagine. The idea in the United States that masonry opens doors. You go down to the city hall in my own little hometown here in Orange County. Mm-hmm. You will see, here's the police department. Here's the fire department. Here's the community center. Here's the library. Here's the city hall. And here's the Masonic temple.
Yep. That's pretty standard. You got it right. You know, in Covina, where I'm at, right down the street.
Pretty obvious connection right there.
You know? Yep. Now you're right. Matt,
also, there's one other thing that I think is really important to mention, though,
tell
Terry.
Tell us.
And that's, you know, when people get involved in Freemasonry, they swear vows.
They do.
And so forth. They take oaths. Some of them rather, you know, grim, kind of gruesome oaths. And what happens, you know, what do you do with that? You want to convert back to Catholicism? You want to become a Christian? And you've bound yourself by oath to all these things. And it's well for people to understand that you're not bound forever by those vows. You know, all the way back in 1884, Pope Leo XIII wrote Humanum Genus about Freemasonry. And he says that a Freemason who comes back to the church as a repentant Catholic is released from any Masonic vow. So it's very clear that you don't have to worry about being bound by those vows or, you know, passing it on to the next generation or any of that.
And I would recommend that you go to our website to the link of the Latin that Father Ripperger's organization that we link to. There are some prayers there specifically to rebuke the Freemasonry. If you have relatives in your family that are Masons, you know, this would be a good prayer to pray. Matt, I'd like to shift gears right now because this topic is going to shift gears to a Soviet Union rewind. What? Why are we praising communism again? Paul Kengar, we've had him on our show over the years, great historian. I think the guy really knows his stuff. In an article, he wrote that in 2020, the United States, the longtime home of the free market, watches millions of its citizens embrace socialism and even communism, the scourge of the 20th century. Do we have amnesia? What's going on with this article, Matt?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, it's not amnesia exactly. It's I think it's about mostly the younger generation, the post baby boomer generations that have not learned that. And I think that there are forces at work in, you know, the public school system and in the universities and the colleges that are purposely keeping the truth away from these kids so that they don't know to reject communism. They don't know the history. They don't understand what happened. They, you know, how can anybody think this is a good thing? And I've had these conversations, believe me, with various young people regarding what socialism, communism actually is. And it's great that you mentioned Paul Kengor is the author of this article. He is also the author of the Politically Incorrect Guide to Communism, right? And it's part of that Politically Incorrect series. A terrific book. I think everybody under 30 in America needs to read it now.
Amen.
And he just puts it very, very bluntly. He says, the worst idea in history is back.
Yeah.
And he just goes on to show how communism and socialism have destroyed national economies, and they still are. You know, let's take a trip down to Venezuela, see how things are working out.
Well, they've
enslaved entire people. They've killed, I mean, they've committed genocide. They've killed 100 million men and women in a little over 100 years.
Wow.
Were sacrificed to this ideology.
Yes.
And but it's always, it's like, yeah, but this time it's going to be different. Well, you know what? No, it's not.
No. And Matt,
communism, and the great thing about this article, Terry, it's, what is it called? It's called Soviet Union Rewind.
I like that
Why
title.
Are we praising communism again? It's great because he has references to a whole slew of papal encyclicals.
Oh,
and like, you know, there's no expiration date on the truth. Catholic Church has made their position about communism extremely clear.
Amen. Matthew, I want to ask you, just give me one country in the world where socialism or communism has been, you know, tried and it's successful? None. And I hate, you know what, Jesse, I called you Jesse. I was trying not to do it this time when you fill in. Darn it. Matt, I have a gentleman, Chris Cartons, on the line. He's the Adoramus Conference, one of the speakers and presenters. I'm going to bring him on, and we're going to talk a little bit about that conference, why people should be coming. Chris, are you with us at the Terry and Jesse Show?
Yes, Terry and Matt.
No, we have Matt's filling in for Jesse Romero. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, God bless you. Chris, I know you're going to be coming out on the 14th of March for this Adoramus Easter Triduum Conference. We've been promoting it on the radio. I want to ask you, as one of the presenters, why should people come to this conference? What are they going to get out of this?
Well, they're going to get the tools to help them pray the Triduum liturgies
awesome.
In such a way that they'll become holy and joyful and beautiful and radiant images of God. That's all.
That's it? Amen. Sign me up.
Is that all?
I love it. And Chris, your particular presentation, I know Father Fessia will be there, Dr. Lillis, and you guys have coordinated these talks. I know you've been working on that. It's the Easter Triduum. What part are you going to be covering?
Well, I'll tell you, both Dr. Lillis and I will kind of co-present for the majority of the day, going back and forth, kind of team presenting.
Yes.
And so what Dr. Lillis is, one of his many specialties is spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think particularly Carmelite spirituality, but generally, you know, how to cultivate and live the spiritual life, how to come heart to heart and face to face, or mouth to mouth, which is what Adoramus means, with God. And I suppose my expertise, such as it is to focus us in on the rituals of the liturgy. And so what Dr. Lillis and I want to do in our presentation is to look at the rites of Holy Thursday and Good Friday and the Easter Vigil and see how those can become kind of the groundwork, the basis for cultivating a spirituality in the liturgy that can bring us closer to God.
Wow, sign me up. And the way you can do that, folks, is go to the virginmostpowerfulradio.org website under conferences, and you can register there, or you can call us at 877-526-2151. Father Fessia will be offering Holy Mass at this. It'll be a wonderful day. And as I said, this is Lent. Make a sacrifice. Come to a conference where you're going to be inspired to fall deeper in love with Jesus and the Eucharist. Chris, I want to thank you for calling in so quickly here and giving us a good reason to come to this conference. We hope to see you, and our listeners are going to be there, I hope, and we'll look forward to doing that in just a couple weeks. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Matt.
God love you.
All right, God bless.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this article about Soviet Union Rewind. Why are we praising communism again? And much, much more. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Polaretti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35 and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for You, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold filling in for Jesse Romero. Matt, thanks for coming and joining us today. Matt, we're
it's an honor, Terry.
You bet, buddy. We were talking about this Soviet Union rewind. Why are we praising communism again? And it's almost 30 years to the day. It was February 7th, 1990. Mikhail Gorbachev succeeded in banishing the Communist Party's grantee at the USSR's sole political party. He backed a proposal by a free market reformers to repudiate Article 6 of the Soviet Constitution, which had ensured that more than 70 years of communist stronghold on power. The communist monopoly was officially ended. Matt, I'm going to ask you, he talks about remembering the day. Where were you when that happened, Matt Arnold? I know you weren't a Catholic at the time, but...
I wasn't a Catholic at the time. I also wasn't paying that much attention to what Mikhail Gorbachev was doing.
Well, I did. I'm sorry. I found it like, wow, this is... I even thought about Our Lady of Fatima, to be honest with you. That was my first response about... Sure. I've been praying for the conversion of Russia, you know, for most of my life. And that happened.
It is a huge moment, though, because what you're saying, you've got the premier of Russia saying, okay, you don't have to be a communist.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's huge.
Huge.
You know, I mean, because it was only through, I mean, it was a rather tyrannical article in their constitution. Imagine if the United States of America says you have a right to vote as long as you're a Democrat and only vote for a Democrat candidate.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, that's essentially what that was saying, is that if, you know, your choice in the upcoming election is going to be between the communist guy and the communist guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the idea just to have that dissenting opinion there is a complete game changer.
Well, in the article, he points out that as time went on after these in 30 years, how America started noticing, you know, that even with the Barack Obama's presidency, you began to see a flip in surveys asking young people if they preferred socialism. And this was a 2014 survey by Reason Foundation. Are you ready for this, Matt? This shocked me. The foundation found that 53%, over 50% of them, of 18 to 29-year-olds, viewed socialism favorably. And then, Matt, in 2015, the same year that socialism was most looked upon word in the Webster Dictionary, found that 69%, what? I can't, of the millennials say that they would vote for a socialist president. It only got worse. Matt, who's influencing them? Could it be the school system? What do you think?
Well, I think, obviously that's the, you know, I mean, our colleges and universities put a lot of a time and effort and spill a lot of ink talking about diversity.
Yeah.
I suggest that you go to your local college and ask how many Republicans there are in the sociology department.
Yeah, or, not many.
Or in the political science department, because they're if there are any at all, they will be in a distinct minority. And that means that what kids are getting is almost. I listen to this business of kids saying that they're telling me capitalism is evil and socialism is good.
I've heard that. Yep.
You know, and unfortunately, there are voices within the church.
Unfortunately.
They're doing the same thing.
Yep.
Who would say something, I won't mention names here, but somebody even once suggested that socialists are better Christians.
Unbelievable.
Because they're the ones that care about the poor. But then again, all you have to do is go to any socialist country and find out how much worse off the poor are than were than before they became socialist to know that that's nonsense.
Well, Matthew, 4 years ago, when Bernie Sanders was trying to become the Democratic primary for the, you know, he lost
trying against to be the candidate,
the candidate with Hillary
again.
Clinton. Right, he's doing it again. But even 4 years ago, Sanders got 13 million votes in the Democratic primary. 40%
Yeah, it was like a million less than
Trump.
Yeah. Trump got.
Yeah, yeah. And then in 2020, just moved the clock up 4 years, and he's now the front runner for the Democratic Party. I just didn't think that could happen. That shouldn't surprise us, but it surprised me in my own lifetime. I thought, I mean, are you kidding me? Look at what's going on with socialism. And among registered Democrats, are you ready for this? 57% view socialism positively. What?
Yeah.
It only gets worse. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to say, this is not off the topic, although it's straying away from our article a little
sure.
bit. And that is, I just read about a lawsuit in Madison, Wisconsin,
yep.
where some parents are suing the school district.
I got the article for
because they implemented yep. a policy
That's right. That's right.
where if children
yep.
Decide that they want to be a different gender or,
yep.
or whatever, that the school is to support them and call them by their new name and their new mm-hmm. pronouns or whatever the heck, but
yep.
not tell mom and dad.
That's horrible.
Yeah, see, and that's socialism. That's the socialism thinking where it's like, yeah, they haven't got the votes or the position to do things legislatively
yeah.
the way they would like to. But we're getting dictated to by the courts. We're getting dictated to by the academy where, you know, and they have to have recourse to a civil suit
mm-hmm.
to make the school, you know, refrain from usurping the parental role regarding the formation of their own children.
Yeah, that,
you know, and that's the danger sign. That's the warning bell that rings in my head when people say, "Oh, people think socialism is a good thing, and this time we'll do it right." And it's like, you know, you gotta look at the history, you gotta look at the philosophy itself, and go back and read those papal encyclicals.
Yes,
and because again, you know, he references some of that stuff in this article.
Yes,
go back there and look at what the popes have said.
Yes,
because theologically speaking, it's very, very clear what the problem is.
Well, Matthew, I have to say it. I'm going to call him by name in this article, July 2019, America Magazine published a piece by one of its staff correspondents, Dean Tulliff, titled The Catholic Case for Communism. Jesse, we talked about this last summer, and, you know, it's crazy that these Jesuits would write a piece promoting, you know, the benefits of communism. And when the editor, Father Matt Malone, was questioned about it, he said, "We published an essay sympathetic to communism. The piece is posted online with a photo of the communist crucifix handed to Pope Francis by the Bolivian Marxist president, Morales." You know, that just made me sick. I remember that picture taking place. But he says, "This is grossly ill-informed and irresponsible on many fronts, particularly given how the Catholic Church has consistently confronted communism and socialism for literally more than 170 years. And Matt, you mentioned it, all the quotes from the popes on socialism and communism. I mean, I'd like to read this one. In 1949, Pope Pius XII stated a papal decree against communism, which asserted that it was not licit for Catholics to join or show favor to communist parties, nor to publish, distribute, and listen to this, Matt, read publications that support communist doctrine or activity or to write for them. The decree even stated Christians who profess, defend, or promote materialistic communistic doctrine incur the penalty." Are you ready? Excommunication. Now, Jet, Matt, I like a Holy Father like this. I'll tell you why. There's clarity here. There's no ambiguity. He's not weaponizing ambiguity like we have now. I'm sorry. I'm just going
right.
to say it. He tells it right straight up.
Yeah, you want clarity. This is Pope Pius IX, actually. I'm going to correct you. You said the
Thank
quote.
Thank you.
Pope Pius
mixed IX. It up. Okay.
In 1846, he published an encyclical on this called Qui Pluribus, where he says that communism is contrary to the natural law.
That's See,
it's
right.
not just theology. It's, you know, basic natural philosophy. It says it would utterly destroy the rights, property, and possessions of all men, even society itself. Now, history proved him right. In 1949, he released the one you were talking about, Nostis Est Nobiscum.
That's right.
Where he described socialism and communism as, you want clarity, wicked theories, perverted theories, pernicious
it.
Fictions. Okay? He's not afraid to call a communist a communist.
Right.
Leo XIII called it a fatal plague, which insinuates itself into the very marrow of human society only to bring about its ruin.
Yeah.
And then Pope Pius X, Veni Redemptoris, and then Pius XI and Quadragesimo Anno, etc. You look at these encyclicals. You know, Terry, I'll tell you a very quick anecdote.
Hit me.
Probably 20 years ago, I was at one of the conferences, a family conference out here in California,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking with a noted theologian, a PhD who shall remain nameless, because I don't want to cast any aspersions on anybody.
Yeah.
But we were talking about some saints and,
yes.
and so forth, and I was relating these stories, and he looked at me and said, "Where do you get all this stuff?"
Yeah.
You know, and I said, the secret is simple. You just got to read books that were written before Vatican II.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of truth there, you know, Matthew.
And I gotta well, all of these encyclicals, I mean, they're there and available for you to look at.
That's
the thing, to tie things up back with Freemasonry.
Yes.
Catholicism is the antithesis of their secret esoteric occult nature. We are entirely open. There's not one set of rules for the hierarchy and a different set of rules for the people. There's no secret teachings that you have to be initiated to know. Everything about the Catholic Church is completely exoteric. It's available in virtually every language of the civilized world online for free. Anybody that wants to be educated about Catholicism and isn't, it's your own fault, because it's right there, right out in the open.
Well said, Matt. And just a quick kind of a fun thing to say about pre-Vatican II books. Last time I looked, the Bible was pre-Vatican II, so give me a break. Go ahead.
Just quickly, though, the author of this article says that it's odd that, you know, we've got a Jesuit magazine now writing articles in favor of communism when back in 1849 to get excommunicated.
Yeah.
I don't remember anybody ever repealing that.
No, it's still valid. Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, Matthew, this is the craziness, and that's why we pray every Thursday night here at our chapel for 2 hours for our leadership, because I long for leadership like we had years ago with Holy Father saying it so clearly, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't hear that right now. And, you know, I'm not in management, I'm in sales, so I pray every day. But specifically tonight, if you're in the Covina at our Sacred Heart Chapel from 7 to 9, we're going to be on our knees praying the rosary, prayer specifically for priests, bishops, and the Holy Father. Why? Because they need the grace to do the right thing. And what is the right thing? To teach, to govern, and to sanctify. That's not my personal opinion. That's the church teachings. And we need to pray for our leaders, because they need our prayers more than ever. Look at the scandals That's in the true. Church right now. I can tell you all about them, but you know what? I think we put more energy in our prayers for them than we'll do much more for the church in the sense of what's good. Matt Arnold, thank you Amen. For joining us. And Matt, tomorrow, one more time, what are you talking on tomorrow on your show?
Right, yeah, I'm going to talk about, you know, Ash Wednesday is coming up next week. You know, where did that come from? What's that all about? Going to talk about that. Going to talk about the upcoming readings. Going to have an interview with Michael Whitcraft and their protests that they're going to be doing this upcoming weekend.
I'll be down
at
there.
The Religious Ed Congress. All right.
Thanks, Matt. So, God love you. Hey,
God,
folks. What's,
love you, Terry.
Yeah, Matthew, last thing I'm going to ask you, because you'll know the answer. What state should we be living in, brother?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
You got it right every time. And what state shouldn't we be living in?
Want to avoid the state of mortal sin like a plague.
Amen. Hey, here at Virgin Most Powerful, we have one goal in life, to get to heaven. And our goal is to help you come with us for all eternity to be with our Lord, to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the church, to inspire you to want the best. And what's the best? Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. May God richly bless you. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, we say full sheen ahead. Thanks for your support. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg Thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of Thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. for thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.